Back to Blog Club.
Here we are. Hello, everyone.
Hello, yes. It is currently 7 o'clock and cloudy. That's all I have. We'll get the official report. Anyway, it's All About Wine at 7 o'clock on Thursday, August the 20th. I have to look down at my clock thing. And let me get started. And we have Ron on the phone, and we're ready to go.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio, a weekly call-in talk show presented each Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern. Featuring Ron with Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. We encourage listeners to call and participate during this hour-long broadcast. Dial 646-727-3235. 646-727-3235. Anytime during the show. Winery location, contact information, and upcoming events are presented at the end of the show. Sit back, relax, and join us with a glass of world-class wine made right here in Florida. And now, vineyardist, tasting expert, cellar master, and winemaker with Florida Estates Winery, here's Ron.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, hey.
Is that our bus proffer?
Yes. Oh, they're doing the chanting. Yeah, good. A good group tonight. Wow, really good group tonight.
Good.
Okay, that's good enough. Settle down.
But it's going to rain out of your area. Be sure to warn them to come in if, if it starts raining.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I don't
cover
know.
The wine.
always protect the wine.
Cover the wine.
Yes. For those of you just tuning in to us, we are continuing our grape varietal show, which started, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
This is the fourth section. We did 2 weeks of white and one week and this will be our second week of red. So
yes, there's a lot of information to cover. Those of you following along online, taking notes on the notepad there, we are on page 65 just of grape varietals. And there's a lot of information, and so we're continuing with the reds. We have Ron with the Florida Estates Winery, as you heard before, located off of State Road 52. That's 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. And I know there's a lot of information, and we have storms outside, so if I get cut off, it's nothing personal. It's just electric.
So, yeah, and it could happen, too.
Yes, it could. And we'll have contact information. There is a class coming up this weekend. Wine Fest returns the following weekend, next Saturday, and give you more information coming up, so stay tuned. And right now, Ron, take it away. Woo-hoo! Oh, wait.
Thank you. Mike, we need to talk before we get into wine for a second, though.
Okay.
You went over and saw a launch. They're going to have another launch Tuesday morning at 1:38 a.m.
Yes.
Are you going to make the trip?
Anyway, here's Ron. You know, it's really incredible to watch. And I've seen one. I don't know if what the latest one was about 11 or 12 midnight, and it is incredible to watch at night like that. But to make that trip at 1:38, whatever the time it is, that's gonna. I don't know. It depends on the weather too. If the weather looks definite, then I don't know. That would be good.
You've done it before, and you broadcast on it, and it was a very enjoyable, broadcast. So I would just, want to put in a plug for you on that.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, the broadcast started an hour, I think, before the launch, and or 2 hours before the launch, but unfortunately, I only got 6 minutes up. We were having all kinds of problems out there, but it was great. I mean, even the evening, it was just incredible. But if you've never seen one, head out to Titusville, park anywhere along the river, pay your $20 if it's for the carload, and watch this thing because it's amazing. So,
and launches are gorgeous. They really are.
Absolutely, yeah. They light up the sky.
And for those of you around the country who are not familiar, we are in Florida, and the space shuttle is. Taking off, the next one's taking off Tuesday morning at 1:38. I'm sure there's going to be different channels showing the launch on your local TV. But if you have the time, fly out, watch it. It is something that, you know, stick with you forever, that is watching those night launches. So.
Oh, absolutely.
And we are on the other coast from there. We're on the west coast of Florida, the panhandle here, of the peninsula, rather. And we can actually see the rocket take off. We see the flames from the back of it and all that from this coast when they launch at night. So it's really quite something. So enough of that. I know you've been over there before, and it was enjoyable listening to you talk about it and everything. And I just
wanted to
give a little plug about it.
Oh, wait, that was laughing. I hit the wrong one.
Yeah, I'm sure.
One of those things. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Great. We started Red Grape Bridals last week, and we got a little bit into it, but time ran out, and so we're going to finish it up today. We've spent the last 3 weeks, this will be the fourth week, on grape varietals. We started with whites and covered a bunch of information about the white grape varietals, the major ones, Chardonnay we talked about. We also went into Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Grigio, Pinot Gris, which is Pinot Gris. It's actually pronounced the same thing, a very very prominent white grape. Gewürztraminer, Riesling, and Chenin Blanc. These are all some of your better-known white grapes that are made into wine. Last week, we talked about and started the red grape varietals. Again, as a review for those of you who don't know, and as a review for those of you who just discovered, a varietal grape is a grape, or a varietal wine is a wine that's named after a particular grape. When they say grape varietals, those are names of grapes. If you have yourself a wine that says red, then it is a generic wine. It just could be a combination of anything, any number of types of grapes, any combination that you want to throw in there. But if it says Cabernet Sauvignon, by law in the United States, it has to contain at least 75% of that grape in the wine. Most of the time, it will be 100%. Seldom will you find wines that are less than 100% if it does state that wine. If it is less than 100%, most of the time the wineries will let you know what the blend is, what else they're putting in there. But by law in the United States, 75% is all that is required of a particular grape to call it a varietal or call it by a name. Cabernet Sauvignon, we covered last week, probably the king of red grapes. People enjoy Cabernet. Cabernets usually are made in a heavier style. It takes well to oak, so you get yourself a much stronger, powerful, long-lasting wine. The tannins usually are in Cabernets made to be very strong and powerful. And so the Cabernet Sauvignon, the granddaddy of them. Actually, Cabernet Sauvignon, the Cabernet Sauvignon grape, and I need to cover this too. It hasn't been around for eons and centuries and all. I don't think I talked about this any last week, but it's something that I do want to cover quickly here. Excuse me. The Cabernet Sauvignon grape was originally found to be less than 600 years old. Now, a lot of wine grapes are centuries old, and ones that have been around for a long time. They are making new ones all the time. But Cabernet Sauvignon has been only been around for about 600 years or so. They're finding through genetic testing and through DNA testing that the Cabernet Sauvignon is a clone, a blend of the Cabernet Franc and the Sauvignon Blanc grapes. And that's something that was done out in nature. So the Cabernet Sauvignon is a reasonably new grape, but it is planted just about everywhere in the world, and it's a very popular grape. Merlot, second biggest one. Actually, the Merlot is the biggest selling red wine in this country. Cabernet Sauvignon pulls in a close third, but the Merlot is the biggest selling red wine in the country. I say red because I have to qualify that, because the Chardonnay is the biggest selling wine in the country. Actually, Chardonnay is the biggest selling wine in the world. It's probably planted in more places around the world than anything. So the Chardonnay is number one. Merlot in this country, number two, and Cabernet Sauvignon, number three. The Cab and the Merlot running very close, 2-3 there. Cabernet or the Chardonnay quite a ways ahead of them. Chardonnay is really used a lot, really drank a lot in this country. Merlot, again, can be made in lots of different styles. Usually it's a little bit heavier style, but usually quite fruity. A lot of people enjoy the Merlot because of the fruitiness to it. It does carry tannins in it. Merlot was used for many years, and it's still used in France in the Burgundy region, or Beaujolais region of France. Sorry, the Beaujolais region of France is a blending grape. But it was used for many years as a blending grape of the Cabernet Sauvignon to soften the tannins and to mellow out, if you will, the Cabernet Sauvignon. But a number of years ago, Merlot came out and established itself as a very popular grape on its own. Pinot Noir, we talked about that last week a little bit too. The Pinot Noir grape is a very fickle grape, very hard to grow, but it makes for a beautiful wine. I've been a Pinot Noir fan for years and years. The Pinot Noir can be grown in a lot of areas. It's a very thin skin grape, late ripening. Therefore, since it has to be out on the vines longer, it's always subject to the late season of heavy snows or bad weather or something that we get as it starts heading into the late summer, early or mid late fall and late summer. So Pinot Noir has recently been planted a lot. It's starting to become quite popular, particularly in the United States, but around the world also. There are some quality Pinot Noirs coming out of Oregon, Australia, California, a lot of different places. But quite a few different styles on that. Can be a little bit fruitier, lighter style, but the ones that most people are used to with some tannins in it. Not real heavy tannins, but enough tannins to be able to recognize the tannins and a little bit body and depth in the wine. Syrah or Syrahs, we talked about this last week also. The Syrah is a lighter style grape. It very prolific on the vine. It grows quite well. Syrah is usually makes for a dark colored wine. The grapes and the skins together make for very very rich dark colored wine. I always like to, whenever I look at wines, I always like to look right down the top of the glass, through the glass, and look at my hand underneath holding the glass. If I can see my hand, it gives an indication of how dark it is. If I can't see my hand, another indication of how dark it is. You can eliminate, if you're trying to judge what a wine is without knowing what it is, a lot of times you can judge just by color alone and by how dark it is, and that's a good way to see that, is look down through the glass. If you have trouble seeing your hand, very good possibility that you could be holding a Zinfandel or Syrah. Those tend to be much darker in color than, say, a Cab or even a Merlot. Syrahs is used in Australia almost exclusively. Syrah has been around for quite some time. It's very nice wine. It makes for wonderful taste and aromas. Usually a lighter style. Most people are familiar with the Australian Syrah, which is usually made in a little bit lighter style than what you find in some coming out of California. Oregon puts out some real nice Syrah. It is a great wine to match up with a lot of different dishes, too, because of the style. We talked about Zinfandel. Zinfandel is a beautiful grape. It's California. If you speak Zinfandel, you speak California. It pretty much tells you right then where the grapes, what the grape is. It's a lot of fruitiness, spicy pepperiness, licorice flavors. It usually is a little bit heavier. There are some old vine Zinfandels that are being grown and used that make for just elegant wines. The grapes of the vines have been producing grapes for over 100 years, and it makes for a very enjoyable, heavy, full-bodied, dark wine. The Zinfandel is using a little bit lighter style. Most people are probably familiar with the Zinfandel as the white Zinfandel. That is the most common way that you hear people talk about a Zinfandel, and most common ones that people drink. A white Zinfandel is simply taking the red Zinfandel grape and pulling the skin off before it has a chance to stain or dye the juice. So you're going to get yourself a pink wine, a blush style, a style, or a rosé style. And it is a little bit lighter, a little bit fruitier, not as heavy, not as dry as a red Zinfandel. A lot of people come in to me at the winery and say, I love a Zinfandel. And I said, well, I've got a Merlot. That's, you know, a nice red. And I pour them this red wine, and they look at it, and they said, but that's red. I said, well, yeah. And they said, well, I told you I like a Zinfandel. And so most people are familiar with a Zinfandel, I like to say, as a blush style wine. California is now referring to Zinfandels as red Zinfandels and white Zinfandels. They're actually distinguishing the two by saying red or white in front of it, because the white Zinfandels become so popular that instead of just saying Zinfandel, they are saying red Zinfandel. So and you know, really, there's nothing wrong with white Zinfandels. It's a good start for a lot of people, a good way to start getting into enjoying wines. And after a while, you can start switching over and finding a little bit more body and character in the reds. Petite Sirah. Did we talk about Petite Sirah last week?
I don't have it, no.
Okay, I don't think we did. I think this is where we may have stopped. Well, maybe we did. I don't know. I can't remember. Well, we'll cut a little bit. Petite Sirah, and I have been, for those of you who have been listening to the discussion of grape varietals, I've been giving you spellings and pronunciation of these as much as I can. For those of you who haven't, I try to do that because some of these people get confused in how they're pronounced. Petite Sirah is P-E-T-I-T-E-S-I-R-A-H. Petite Sirah. This is a cousin of the Syrah grape, or Syrahs. It's not the same grape. There's still people who believe it might be the same grape, but I think through genetic testing and DNA testing now, they have found that the Petite Sirah and Syrah are actually two different grapes. Petite Sirah is a lot like the Syrah in the fact that it's usually a deep-colored, peppery-style wine, capable of a lot of good tannins. It is not as popular as you're going to find in Cabernet Sauvignon, Pinot Noir, Zins, but it does have a lot of character and a lot of possibilities to stand by itself. A Petite Sirah is used a lot as a blending grape. For some reason, it never really has gone on. I used to drink a lot of Petite Sirahs when I lived in California 35, 40 years ago. They used to make a lot of them out there. And now it's not nearly. Last time I was out there, I was asking about Petite Sirahs, and it's really difficult to find very many of them. 1970s, that's when I was back there. That was when it really became quite popular. It's been on decline since then. The Petite Sirah is usually blended with a lot of other grapes to give it a little punch, to give it a little more zest. Blend with the Zin to give it a little more of a kick or something like that. Cabernet Franc, C-A-B-E-R-N-E-T, Cabernet Franc, F-R-A-N-C. The Cabernet Franc is a lighter style than the Cabernet Sauvignon. It is a different grape completely. Again, they think that this might be the daddy of the Cabernet Sauvignon grape, the red grape that gave the Cabernet Sauvignon its Cabernet name and its tannins and stuff. It's adaptable to cooler climates, whereas the Cabernet Sauvignon isn't as well. I enjoy Cabernet Franc. I've had some absolutely phenomenal Cabernet Francs, usually not as tannic as you would find in a Cabernet Sauvignon, but yet still very, very fruity and very a lot of depth, a lot of character to it. It's the tannins are usually a little bit softer, It's used a lot in the Bordeaux region of France as a blending grape. It's the Pomerol areas of France blended with a Merlot a lot. It just makes for a nice, little bit lighter style. I've had a lot of wineries don't really come out with a Cabernet Franc. But a lot of them like to make it. A lot of the winemakers, you'll find California and Napa Valley winemakers particularly, will have some Cabernet Franc plant and grapes planted, and they'll make a personal Cabernet Franc, ones that they share with family and friends and relatives that come in. If you can get in with some of those people or find some of those, they're beautiful. I just really can't say enough about a Cabernet Franc. It's always been one of my favorites. Malbec, M-A-L-B-E-C, Malbec. Malbec is probably used most often, and this is the most common grape used for blending in Bordeaux. It softens the tannins of the Cabernet Sauvignon and gives it a little bit more fruitiness. It is usually associated with blackberry flavors and a darker currant type flavors and aromas. Malbec is a very dark grape, which makes for a very, very dark wine, extremely dark wine, and it helps darken a lot of the wines. It contains enough tannins in it that it holds up well over a period of time. You can find Malbec wines in the stores. If you get a chance, you find a varietal Malbec, definitely give it a shot. It's well worth the buying a glass of that and enjoying, or buying a bottle of that and enjoying a glass or two of that. It grows well in warmer climates. Argentina is starting to plant a lot of Malbec now. Great wines coming out of Argentina and a lot of good red wines. They're growing Pinot Noirs and Malbecs and a few other Cabernets and Merlots and all that down there, but Malbec is doing really quite well down there. It's full of dark fruit flavors and some really nice ripe tannins. The Malbec could go well with your heavy meals. Get something that you've thrown on the grill and you've charred up a little bit, and the Malbec will hold up really quite well with those. Petit Verdot. P-E-T-I-T, Verdot, V-E-R-D-O-T, pronounced Petit Verdot. This is a red grape, of course, with a spicy fragrance. It is, again, one of those blending wines used primarily for blending in the Bordeaux region, mostly in the left bank area of Verdot. It is used a lot to blend with the Cabernet-based wines, again, which adds a little bit more color, a little bit more tan, a little bit more complexity to it. Bordeaux, you have to realize, also is an area that does blending. This is what they do. The Bordeaux is one of the best regions in the world, and the winemakers have always blended there, and they came out with some world-class wines from their blends. And so, and they've found that certain grapes will blend well with others, and they get the qualities and characters that they want. So whenever you talk about Bordeaux, you're primarily talking about blending. And so a lot of these grapes I've mentioned are used in conjunction with other grapes to get their final product. The Petit Verdot produces a nice full-bodied wine with, again, deep colors. Gives you the peppery, spicy characteristics. Again, a lot of high tannins. Dark colors help produce more tannins because of the contact with the skin, and that'll darken the wine and also give you a little bit more tannins there. It is a great wine by itself. If you can find a Petit Verdot, again, that's another one that's well worth the experience to try it and taste it and see what it's like, because there's it's got a lot of character and a distinct taste. It is really quite different than the Cabernet Sauvignon or the Merlot, but a lot of good qualities and characters. We're going to go into some wine, some grapes from different areas of the world now. The ones I just read you were your primary ones. Now we're going to go into some that are really knowing a little bit more around different parts of the world. First one is the Aglianico, spelled A-G-L-I-A-N-I-C-O, Aglianico. This is a primarily Italian grape. It is a grape derives its name from a Greek gods, Aglianico, Greek gods of early 700 BC. It is a one of the grapes that grows in a higher climate. It grows well in the mountains and stuff of southern Italy. It doesn't have much problem growing out the sides of rocks or things like that. It really is a very hardy, sturdy grape that can survive a lot that other grapes wouldn't be able to. Deep, long root systems makes for a lighter style wine, but with a lot of character in it. It usually also the Aglianico is you can usually find it at a reasonable price. So look in your Italian sections for that. You can find those in your Italian sections at a pretty decent price. People aren't familiar with it, so therefore you might not have problem or might have problems finding it. But you once you do, you'll get a decent price and nice wine. Barbera, B-A-R-B-E-R-A, Barbera. I like Barberas. I have always been a fan of Barbera, the Barbera grapes and Barbera wines. It's just something that I grew to love many years ago, and I still am a big fan of Barberas. It is basically an Italian wine. California used to have a lot of Barbera plantings. Again, I'm talking many years ago when I was out there, living out there. I used to drink Barberas quite extensively because everybody had some Barbera planted. Last time I was out there, I was hard-pressed to find, although I was more in Paso Robles than I was in any other area. I was checking out the Paso Robles area, and I was hard-pressed to find very many wineries that actually were producing a Barbera. But a Barbera is usually a lighter style. It has a lot of fruitiness to it, very nice aromas, a little spiciness in the aroma. It is... got some nice crispiness from the acid that it usually contains. It's not a light wine by any means. Usually it's a medium body. You can make them full-bodied wines. I've had some Barberas that were just absolutely powerful, strong wines, aged in oak barrels, and an intense, strong wine that should be aged for a few years before you can really start tasting anything but the oak and the tannins. Mostly, though, Barberas are made in a lighter, fruitier style. They grow well on the rolling hills of Italy, the hillsides of Napa Valley, usually where most of the vineyards were when they had a lot of Barberas out there. It goes well with aperitifs and stuff. A lot of people like to chill the Barbera. I've never personally did that, but a lot of people recommend that you chill the Barbera just a little bit cooler than you would serve any red wine. Actually, red wine should be slightly chilled compared to what we normally serve. Just I mentioned this before, good point to make now. Red wines, there's no such thing as room temperature. Don't be serving a wine at what your house is set at that is really too warm. Red wine should be popped in the refrigerator about a half hour before you serve it. That'll cool it down to just about the temperature you need it. So you can serve it. Barchetto. Barchetto is spelled B-R-A-C-H-E-T-T-O. Pronounce it Barchetto. This is a light red wine found mainly in the Piedmont region. It is a light, fruity wine. A lot of times growing just to come out with a light, soft wine, a little fizziness to it. Rich red colors, nice aroma, raspberry, strawberry, chocolate type. undertones to it, which is really makes for a very nice, pleasant, softer wine. Next one, Canelio, or Canelio, pronounced both ways, spelled C-A-N-A-I-O-L-O. Again, this is another Italian wine, or Italian grape. It is usually used as a blend. It is a lot of times used in Chianti. You find this in the Chianti regions. By itself as a individual grape, an individual wine, it's usually on a very bitter, rather bland type wine, but when it's mixed with the other grapes from the Chianti regions, you're getting a nice, rich wine that your classic Chiantis, Sangiovese, really one of the most common grapes used in the Chianti region. It is blends maybe 10 to 30%, most of the time less than 10%, though, because of the flavors it passes on. The next one, Cannonau, C-A-N-N-O-N-A-U, Cannonau. It is, not sure where this came from, growing a lot on the island of Sardinia, again, off the coast of France. It produces a wine that's very high in alcohol. It is a rich wine that, comparable to a Grenache or a Zinfandel. You don't see this too often. A lot of times it is used in blending, again, all that. One of those wines that you will find here and there in different places, but most of the time it is used as a nice, soft, a blending wine. Corvino, C-O-R-V-I-N-A, Corvino. This is a wine, again, from Italy. It makes for real nice, full-bodied red wines. It's one of the main wines of the Valpolicella wines. Whenever you have a Valpolicella, Corvino is usually one of the ones that are in there, if not a little bit of a blend, maybe even 100% of it. It makes for nice, full-bodied wines with good balance of tannins and alcohol. It is great with your heavier meats and stuff, your full-flavored red meat dishes. Dolcetto, the Dolcetto grape. It's spelled D-O-L-C-E-T-T-O, Dolcetto. Dolcetto grape is a easy-drinking red wine, a lot of sweet, if you will. Usually produces high sugar and made into a sweeter style. Nice fruity flavors and aromas, including cherry. You pick up a lot of cherry, currant in it. Native to the Piedmont region of Italy, and it is the second most planted red grape of the Piedmont region. And the Dolcetto translates into the little sweet one. That is the actual Italian translation of the name. Usually planted on the hillsides. Again, a lot like the Barbera. This is a wine that, again, suggested to be served chilled. Because of its characteristics, lighter fruitiness and all that, it does go very well with as a chilled wine served with Ponte cheese, just or as an aperitif by itself, because it does give it a little bit sweeter style. Lagrein. This is spelled L-A-G-R-E-I-N, Lagrein. This is grown in the Trentino Alto Adige region of Italy. Again, usually a deep, dark red wine. It has a lot of characteristics of chocolate undertones, gives you some nice, rich, fruity flavors. I've had a Lagrein wine in a blend. I've never seen one by itself, but it is used. I've seen them around as one of the ingredients in a blend. Nobilola. Nobilola. And that's how it says to pronounce it here on my notes. And I always say Nebbiolo, which I obviously am probably wrong. It's spelled N-E-B-B-I-O-L-O. And again, I apologize for a lot of these are Italian, and I'm not Italian. Nabelio is a powerful red wine. This is probably the strongest, heaviest red wine that you're going to find in most of Italy. These you will find in Italy. All the ones I'm talking about now are mostly Italian wine grapes. Seldom will you find these planted in other areas, other regions. Not that they won't grow there. It's just that when people plant them and use them in other areas, people just don't have a taste for them. They've got them established for their own uses, and so they've pretty much gotten away from trying to transfer grapes to any other region. The Nebbiolo is a heavy, strong wine with a lot of acidity, a nice, powerful, smoky, tarry, licorice-type flavors and notes in it. Goes well with heavy reds, hearty sauces, stuff like this, your classic Italian dishes with your strong, heavy sauces and stuff. Nebbiolo is great for that. Negro Amaro. The Negro Amaro is spelled N-E-G-R-O, Negro Amaro, A-M-A-R-O. This is grown in the southern or southeast Italy. It is the name actually is Italian for black bitter. This very bitter type grape. I was searching this, and I mean, everybody, every article I read on it emphasized the bitterness of this grape and how it can translate into the wine if you're not careful. It is a very acidic grape, which is bitter. Whenever you speak of bitter in wine, what you're really talking about is the acid that's coming out. Very acidic grape. But if balanced right, if made properly, it is a nice wine with good balance and good flavors and good characteristics. I've just looked around and I realized that I have all sorts of visitors in the house now. I've got, I have relatives that came into town. Hey. And they have my son and his wife that picked them up and all that. So we have all sorts of people that I'm trying to keep quiet so I can continue my program. So if the engineer can't control them, then you may hear a couple of gunshots. But don't be concerned.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Monico. This is spelled M-O-N-I-C-A. This is a great varietal from the Spain. Produces a rich, strong wine, something like a California Zinfandel in the characteristics and the type of wine. And speaking of Zinfandel, next one, Primitiva. The Primitivo, P-R-I-M-I-T-I-V-O, Primitivo. This is years ago, back in the 1960s, there was research done by a pathologist, Arthur Goen, who noticed a strong resemblance between the Primitivo and the Zinfandel grape. He took some cuttings back to his laboratory at the University of California, Davis, which is, for years the premier wine viticulture school in this country, although UC Fresno is really starting to make inroads to becoming one of the premier ones now, but UC Davis. And he did all sorts of genetic tests, and he didn't do a whole lot of DNA testing because back in the 60s we didn't have a lot of that. But he did all sorts of genetic tests and everything and couldn't conclusively determine that the Primitivo and the Zinfandel were identical. Mm. He tried, but it was he never said this is. In 1990s, Carol Meredith, who is a plant geneticist and a professor at University of California, Davis, did DNA testing. And at that time, she discovered that the Primitivo and the Zinfandel are the same grape. So Primitivo, grown primarily in Spain, it is the same grape as the Zinfandel, probably brought over many years ago and went out of favor in Spain and became very popular in California, particularly Napa. as has, and Mike and I talked about this after we went off the air last week, it's so interesting how so many areas have different names for the same grape.
Mm-hmm.
You can cross over, like I pointed out to him, in Arkansas, the grapes that is known as the...
Cynthiana or something?
Thank you. I did
yes.
that a blank there.
Yeah.
The grape known as the Cynthiana is called Cynthiana in Arkansas. You cross across the border north into Missouri, and that same grape is called the Norton. And it's the same grape. So, and obviously it happens around the world too. You go in from different regions and different countries and everything else, we find a lot of the same grapes. Sangiovese, S-A-N-G-I-O-V-E-S-E, Sangiovese. Sangiovese is grown throughout the Tuscany region of Italy. It is complex wine. The grapes make for great earthiness, tobacco, coffee-type undertones. This is the primary grape for the Chianti. Whenever you talk of Italian Chiantis, people come in and say, I love a Chianti. And I said, well, that's Sangiovese. And they go, well, no, it's a Chianti. Well, yeah, it's a Sangiovese. That's the primary grape. Sangiovese is a nice level of acid, not real high tannin, a little bit of fruitiness. Great to go with your Italian dishes and your pastas and your tomato sauces and all that. Sangiovese now is being planted a lot in California, Washington State. So you can find some Sangiovese coming out of those areas also. The Grenache, G-R-E-N-A-C-H-E, Grenache. This is a nice red grape grown in the Rhone Valley of France. You can find a Grenache grape growing in California also. Makes for a lighter, fruitier type wine, medium bodies, a lot of fruit, but less tannins. Used for blending quite often, but a nice wine. You can pick up a Grenache, and it really gives you a different characteristics than what you may be used to in others. Malverde, Morverde, rather, M-O-U-R-V-E-D-R-E, Morverde. This is a grape that produces a deep, dark color, a lot of structure, usually medium body, but it can be made into a little bit stronger style. Usually blended a lot. The Malverde is adds a lot of complexity to wines and a little bit more character to the wine. Undergraded. You can find Malverde varietals by themselves, and if you do, pick up one. It's interesting. It really is a nice wine. Carignan. C-A-R-I-G-N-A-N, Carignan. This is originally from Spain. It is growing a lot in France now, especially in different southern regions of it. And a lot of the Mediterranean countries, Italy, Spain, Algeria, Israel. It's also planted in California a lot, spelled a little bit different there in California. C-A-R-I-G-N-A-N-E with an E at the end of it. It's a very prolific grape, high yields on this. Dark colors, high tannins, usually high alcohol. It's a very strong grape. Carignan is a wonderful wine. I enjoy it tremendously. It's got a lot of characteristics into it that just sets it apart from a lot of other red wines. Cinsault, C-I-N-S-A-U-L-T, Cinsault. This is a red grape growing in France, also again. Usually producing a real full-bodied wine, almost port-like characteristics. It's extremely strong, powerful. Used a lot for rosés for some reason, and I never could figure this out, and I thought that was a misprint when two or three times I read it. Because it's just the complexity of this grape, it seems strange that they would blend it and make it into a rosé. But use more often than not as a rosé. The nice balance of the acid and the fruitiness of it, and so it's used quite often to make a rosé. Gamay, G-A-M-A-Y. Very nice wine. Very nice grape. Very nice wine. No tannins to speak of. A lot of fruitiness, a lot of flavors out of it. The aromas give you a very grapiness aromas with little bits of cherry, plum in it. If people are looking to try a red wine, they're white wine people or they're rosé people, and they want to try a red wine, Gamay is a great way to start. That's one of the better ones to jump into and better ones to try, because it gives you a lot of your white characteristics, although with your red wine, and it gives you your health benefits as a red wine. Garnacha, G-A-R-N-A-C-H-A, Garnacha. This is probably one of the world's most widely cultivated red grapes. It's pronounced Grenache in a lot of areas, so the A at the end with an E at the end. Usually ripens with very high sugar levels, which produces very high alcohol levels. When you ferment the sugar out of it, it turns to alcohol, so you get very high alcohol. And not fermenting the sugar out leaves you a little bit of sweetness in the Grenache. Usually low tannins, not a real dark grape, a lighter style grape, lighter colored grape. They're growing a lot in Spain. It's used as primary grape in Spain. A lot of the blends and a lot of the wines there in Spain. Graciano, G-R-A-C-I-A-N-O, Graciano. This is a grown in Spain, high quality grape in Spain. Rich colors, a lot of aromas to it, a lot of dark currant and licorice type aromas to it. It is a great wine for blending because it is very very high in acid. Makes for nice. It gives you a nice, lovely aroma and fragrance that just jumps out at you. And it is used to blend a lot with a Tempranillo because the Tempranillo tends to be a little bit lighter style. And so blending the Graciano with it gives a little bit more character and depth to the Tempranillo. Tempranillo being the next one, T-E-M-P-R-A-N-I-L-L-O, Tempranillo. This is another grape grown in Spain. It's very widely planted, very versatile grape, usually yielding a full-bodied reds, a lot of tannins, complexities. It can also be made in lighter styles with softer tannins. Usually you're going to get a cherry, strawberry type aromas out of it and taste out of it. Different styles can come out with more of an earthiness, leatheriness to it. It's takes well to oak aging. Again, used a lot as a blending grape with other wines are thrown in it to blend to control some of the characteristics. This is one of those grapes that's also known by all sorts of other names as the Tinto di Toro, the Tinto Fino, and the Tinto di Paz. Just all different names for the Tempranillo. Carmenere. C-A-R-M-E-N-E-R-E. And the next to the last E has a little Spanish mark above it. This is very popular. Well, we had a Carmenere for a while at the winery, and it was wonderful. It was great. It was just a beautiful wine, and we're sold out. But this is, it was an accident. It was lost for a number of years. The Carmenere was, no one knew what happened to the grape. It was grown in France. No one knew what happened to it. And then in the early 1990s, it was discovered again. It was mixed in with a lot of the Merlot plantings. And what a lot of people thought was Merlot was actually Carmenere grapes. And the winemaker for Vinos and Esteban, which is the winery we got our grapes from, in Chile said that the Carmenere grape has a little yellowish tinge around their leaves. If you actually look for it, you can see it's very noticeable. But if you just ignore it, it looks so much like a Cabernet, or I'm sorry, so much like a Merlot that you can't tell the difference. Thing is, with the Carmenere, though, it doesn't mature for about 5-6 weeks after the Merlot. So they were picking them all at the same time and getting a very immature Carmenere that they were blending, basically not knowing it, with the Cabernet Sauvignon. Again, used to grow in France. Never was seriously replanted after Phylloxera killed off so many plants in France. And so now Chile is about the only place you're going to find it. Also, the Carmenere grape does not take well to American rootstock. And I've mentioned in other programs about Phylloxera and how most wines are planted on American rootstock. Carmenere does not take well to American rootstock. Malbec, M-A-L-B-E-C, Malbec. Grown a lot in Argentina. It is very popular in Argentina, third most popular grape planted in Argentina. Nice dark fruitiness, a lot of ripe tannins, great with the game and the style of foods that they have in Argentina. It matches very well with a lot of those. Tannat, T-A-N-N-A-T. This is was lost for a long time. Most people didn't know what it was, where it was, or anything. It's makes for a very tanny grape, used for blending a lot in different areas that they're growing it, France, in Spain, Italy, northern Italy, a stronger, heavier wine with some nice balance of acid in it. A couple of them here I want to tell you about from Portugal, the Torrego Franseca. That's T-O-U-R-I-G-A-F-R-A-N-C-E-S-A, Torrego Franseca. Red wine that's used to produce port, very common for making port. It's usually it's a lighter style, more delicate body ports. It has a perfumey characteristic, but makes for a perfect port blend. Torrego Nacional, T-O-U-R-I-G-A-N-A-C-I-O-N-A-L, Torrego Nacional. This is another one that is used primarily for port. It, again, makes for a stronger port and a little bit heavier port. Higher yield, they usually come out with higher alcohol from these because it you can produce more alcohol on it. The vine produces very small berries, which doing that makes for dark, fruity, aromatic wines, a lot of tannin in it. Blaufränkisch, B-L-A-U-F-R-A-N-K-I-S-C-H, Blaufränkisch, grown primarily in Austria and Hungary and that area there. In Hungary, it's known as the Kékfrankos. Again, you cross over the border, you change the name. A lot of times people thought this was a Gamay grape. They're finding, again, through the wonders of DNA testing, that it's not. It's a different grape completely. It produces a style of wines a lot like the Gamay, a little bit lighter style, a lot of acid, and a lot of characteristics. Being planted a lot up in Washington, Oregon right now. They're finding that it grows very well up there and makes for some, because of the soil, makes for a little bit fruitier style wine. The Bauer Zeigelt, and I think I pronounced that right, B-L-A-U-E-R, Bauer Zeigelt, Z-W-I-E-G-E-L-T. Number two planted grape in Austria, makes for full-bodied wine, deep colors, a lot of blackcurrant flavors, a very popular grape or a very popular wine. We don't see a lot of it. You look in Austrian sections here, you can find that, and when I was reading all about it, I am definitely going to go out and try to define myself one because it sounds extremely interesting. And then the last one on the reds and the last one on the grape varietals that we are going to be discussing here is one from South Africa. This is the Pinotage. Pinotage, Pinotage. This is a cross of the Pinot Noir and the Cinsault. And again, the Cinsault, C-I-N-S-A-U-L-T, Cinsault. The South Africans call the Cinsault the Hermitage grape. Thus, the name Pinotage, Hermitage and Pinot Noir, you know, Pinot and Tage, Hermitage. This was bred back in 1925, and it was used for winemaking for years, but back in the late 1950s and early 1960s is when it really started winning awards and become popular. It's grown almost exclusively in South Africa. There are some plantings in California and some in New Zealand, but if you want to try Pinotage, South Africa, it's they're available on the shelves all over, and it makes for a very interesting, lovely grape. I've had a couple, three different Pinotage, and I found that almost every one of them had a little bit different style to them. So. And that ends our grape writer.
Wow. Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't know where they came from, but...
But, you know, it's probably raining there.
Could be. yeah, excellent, excellent. And, wow, that was like 3.5-4 shows worth of the grape varietals. There's definitely a lot to cover.
And that's just scratching the surface. That's the fascinating thing about it. That's just a little bit.
Yeah.
There are over 5,000 different grape varietals. We just barely touched on that.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing. Yeah, I wanted to jump in and cover a couple of events that are coming back to the winery. I know the Wine Fest took a little break there, which is great, either due to the weather, the heat, or whatever, because I think a couple of days it got up to like 150. But
yeah,
it's very warm.
Yeah. In the state.
But it's that time again this weekend at Florida State's Winery, August 22nd. Mark your calendars, especially if you're in the area, if you're not, fly in on your own dime. From 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. is wine class. It's a great 3 hours. You get to go beyond just sampling the wines and having a nice drink and everything, but you go into the history of the wines, the grape varietals, which sounds familiar, but it's a great presentation, great diseases. You learn everything about that, the glasses, glass styles and uses, cork, everything you want to know about the corks, history, evolution, uses, oak aging, and then, of course, the wine tasting. It's a great class that's coming up August 22nd at 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the winery. So check that out. Also, the Wine Fest and Market Wine Festival is coming up the following Saturday, which is August 29th. That goes from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and that is a great event. There's vendors out there, and you can get all kinds of good things there. Sometimes they offer food. I don't know if they'll be back there on the 20th.
Supposed to be Sam Osborne will be our musician this time too.
Oh wow, okay.
I haven't seen Sam in a long time. He's been out for the summer, so.
Yeah, so it's a great time. There's picnic tables out there. You can sit out under the giant oak trees and enjoy the live music performance, and also take in a fantastic glass of wine or a bottle or more. Or also the food service out there is great. There's also arts and crafts. And it's just a great time out at the winery. It always is. And you're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And the show here is every Thursday, and we'll give you directions and everything. I believe that's coming up, if I can get back over to the other screen. I don't know if I have enough time.
I don't know if you have enough time.
No, you don't. If you'd like to call the winery direct, we're hearing stuff in the background. If you'd like to call the winery direct, please do so. Area code 813-996-2113. Be sure to, you can back that up on the player and write that down. Or email them at corp, C-O-R-P, at flun.com, F-L as in Florida, E-W-N.com, F-L-E-W-N.com. And visit their website. Visit the website. They have pictures. They have event information. You want to learn about weddings and event receptions, group tours, everything going down at the winery, gifts, all about them, directions and everything at www.floridaestateswines.com. Florida Estates Wines is WINES.com. So check that out. 4 miles, almost at east, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on exit 285, that's State Road 52. You go west on State Road 52 from I-75, 4 miles, and you'll see the signs there, and it's just a little jog up the road there to the winery. And it's great. We did the show.
Join us on our Facebook page also. I'm going to throw that in
there. Yes, also on Facebook. And I don't have a...
I don't either.
10 seconds.
I think we're almost done. I'm going to say goodbye. Thank you again, Mike.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on All About Wine. Thank you. Man, that was quick.